Brothers and sisters, God meets us in our greatest need and satisfies us with divine presence and provision. In gratitude, let us join our hearts together in worshipful prayer. O God, you are infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, glorious in holiness, full of love and compassions, abundant in grace and truth. Your works everywhere. Praise you, and your glory is revealed in Jesus Christ, the Savior. Therefore, we offer you our humble thanksgivings and joyous praises. O blessed and holy Trinity, one God forever and ever. Amen.
Please turn to page number 487 for the hymn, When Morning Gilds the Skies.
Thank you.
The proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God with confidence. In faith and penitence, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Holy and merciful God, in your presence we confess our sinfulness, our shortcomings, and our offenses against you. You know how often we have sinned, wandering from your ways, and wasting your gifts, and forgetting your love. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we are ashamed and sorry for all we have, and have not done to displease you. Forgive our sins, and help us to live in your light, and walk in your ways, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Friends, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. Hear the word of the Lord in Jesus. Your sins are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please share this peace with all you meet, beginning with those surrounding you here. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Old Testament lesson this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 5. Your pew Bible is in the Old Testament on page 685. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, he shall call nations that you do not know, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you.
Thank you.
Thank you, good musicians. Lovely. You know, as Jane was reading Isaiah 55, it struck me again how the people who put the lectionary together for us, they usually find things that speak to each other, that have a conversation with each other. And for instance, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price." Today's reading from Matthew is about buying without money and without price and being well fed. But I want to give you a little background first. Do you remember King Herod? Yeah, right? Everybody knows. Well, just before the story that we are considering today, Matthew tells us that Herod's thrown John the Baptist into prison, all because that prophet had boldly told him that it was against the law to marry his brother's wife, Herodias, while all three were still alive. Telling truth to power can be hazardous. Now, Matthew tells us Herod wanted to kill John, but didn't because he feared the reaction of the man's followers. To quote scripture, "the crowd thought John was a prophet." So he left John in prison to rot. Then came Herod's birthday party, and Herodias' daughter danced for the guests and thrilled Herod. And he swore to give her anything she asked for. Sounds like Herod is quite the scumbag, doesn't it? So at her mother's urging, and in front of the guests, the girl said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist on a plate." The king was upset, but because of his solemn pledge in front of the guests, he commanded the guard to give her John's head, which she in turn gave to her mother there at the banquet. Delightful, right? After John's disciples buried his body, they went and told Jesus what happened, and this is where we pick up today. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 13. When Jesus heard about John, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. And when the crowds learned this, they followed him on foot from the cities. It isn't surprising that Jesus wanted to grieve alone, that he withdrew. John was close family. Perhaps he was beginning to realize that because of their relationship, he too was a marked man. It's unclear as to what his motivation was. He just wanted and needed to pray alone. Now, we tend to assume that people followed Jesus out of the cities because they wanted to see what he'd do next, right? But I wonder if there wasn't more to their actions. Did they go into the wilderness because they too were shocked by the news? Maybe the emptiness would have a healing effect on their hearts. Emptiness can do that for you. Perhaps they were bewildered and couldn't fathom what they'd do without God's prophet who'd washed away their sins in river water. Maybe in their grief, they were desperate for the solace of similar company. They knew the desert was John's home. Maybe being out there with others who'd felt the power of his words would allow them to feel his presence yet again. Regardless, in such grief they might have forgotten to bring food and drink along. When gripped by aching and total loss, ordinary senses tend to fade away and we search. We search for peace, for community, perhaps for God. Now, old tradition taught the Hebrews that the Messiah would be a powerful warrior, a zealot of the faith, who'd use John's death as a call to rally the people into a fighting frenzy so they could overpower puppet kings and Roman guards. And the people who followed Jesus out into the desert probably hoped that Jesus would be that Messiah. 5,000 men, plus women and children, would definitely make a great start to an army which could storm Herod's palace. But we know that that is not what happened. Jesus was not a warring Messiah. So let's hear the rest of Matthew 14 through verse 21. When Jesus arrived and saw a large crowd, he had compassion for them and healed those who were sick. That evening, his disciples came and said to him, "This is an isolated place and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "There's no need to send them away. You give them something to eat." And they replied, "We have nothing here except 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them here to me." He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, blessed them, and broke the loaves apart and gave them to his disciples. Then the disciples gave them to the crowds. Everyone ate until they were full, and they filled 12 baskets with the leftovers. About 5,000 men, plus women and children, had eaten. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. It all sounds rather miraculous, doesn't it? And whether you agree that Jesus almost magically multiplied the loaves and fishes, or if you prefer to think his words merely encouraged the crowds to share what they brought along with them, this thing of feeding 5,000 men plus women and children is eye-popping. But feeding the 5,000 is much more than a miracle. In caring for the needs of the many, Jesus is revealing his messiahship as God's son in surprising new ways. You see, back in the day, everyone believed the gods used average human beings as playthings to be batted around and discarded when they became boring. They believed gods acted like Herod, whose glittering, slimy lifestyle was eroded by Herodias and her daughter. He executed John out of a lust for a manipulative woman who, through her daughter, no less, had asked him to do so. Moral decay and cruel demands, they were the rule of the day. They truly were puppet kings and gods at play. We human beings seem to like making believe that we can behave as we like Roman gods, thinking without thinking of how it might affect other people. But decay and cruelty wasn't meted out just on imprisoned prophets. In those days, there were the rich and powerful, Herod and company, the military, the guards, and ordinary folks. Now, the last group lived very meager existences, and their needs were overlooked when mandates were laid down by their rulers. Throughout Matthew's gospel, Jesus speaks about the realities of ordinary people, how they were like sheep without a shepherd. He reminded his listeners how it is right in God's eyes, never mind priestly laws, for them to feed themselves from grain in the field on the Sabbath when deeply hungry. And he told those gathered round how clothing the naked and visiting prisoners is showing people in the worst of circumstances that they were of value in God's sight. And here in today's reading, when Jesus, the Son of God, saw the great crowd that had followed him into the wilderness, he had great compassion upon them. That word, compassion, it comes from old Latin and means to feel with, to share in the same feelings as another human being. So Jesus wanted good for them, and he also suffered their pain, their thirst, their hunger with them. He stood alongside them, healed the sick, tended their needs, and shared himself with them. Unlike the Roman gods, this God was present with the people. So I suspect he could have been a bit annoyed when the disciples suggested he send these sad lambs to the villages to find their dinners. First, you know, they really were in the desert, beyond the reach of most villages. And even if a village had been close by, there were how many? 5,000 of them to be fed and watered? Far more than a single little bird could handle. And then there was the problem of money. Most of these folks didn't have any. So who would be able to buy food? This idea of the disciples was hardly thought out, let alone well thought out, and in Jesus' mind, it was just plain wrong. He wasn't about to turn his back on this flock. So he tells the 12 to get over themselves, in a matter of speaking, and figure out how to feed the masses now. While I read this as a gentle, knowing, and hopeful statement, you give them something to eat. I wonder if his voice might have been stern when he spoke those words. Either way, I suspect the disciples were skeptical of his decision. How would 5 loaves and 2 fishes be enough for 5,000 people? Yet after giving thanks to God for these gifts, Jesus took bread, broke it, and gave it to the disciples to pass out to all who sat there waiting for the meal that would nourish both their body and their soul without money. Where these things could have gone sour, through God's gracious presence, abiding compassion, and everlasting love, all ate and were filled with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Yet from so little, God showered abundance down on the makeshift community that had been burdened by scarcity. It's a good miracle. But what does this, but what does this story have to do with us who live in a time when large-scale miracles don't seem to exist? Well, it reminds us that in a world just as broken as the one inhabited by Herod and Herodias, who, by the way, were also like half-brother and sister, I think. They were related very closely. Well, anyway, when the world is like them, we here are fed bread and wine there at the Lord's table, so that as Jesus' body on earth, we too can go out to share God's presence, love, and yes, compassion with others. But who should we share it with? And where should we share it? Good questions. Lately, I've been listening a lot to singer-songwriter Carrie Newcomer. And one of her songs reminds listeners that while gripped by aching loss, the 5,000 sought comfort, community, and a God who would love them. And Jesus met those folks where their hearts were. Now, the wilderness we tend to find ourselves in is more inside of our bodies than out somewhere in a desert. And when we stumble or grieve or ache over the problems of our lives, like the 5,000, we too seek comfort, community, and a God who will love and care for us. Sometimes we look for things like that in places like roadside restaurants, where we think we might have some alone time. Don't know anybody going in. We've all seen those places. And Ms. Newcomer has written about one, Betty's Diner, that reminds us of the possibilities for new life for all who hurt. Listen to the words she's composed for modern day people whose hearts are broken. Miranda works the late night counter at a little joint called Betty's Diner. Chrome and checkered tablecloths, one steamy window pane. She got the job that shaky fall. And after hours, she'll write till dawn with a nod and a smile. She'll serve them all.
Arthur lets his Earl Grey speak. Since April, it's been hard to sleep. You know they tried us everything, yet it took her in the end.
Deidre bites her lip and frowns. She works the stop and go downtown. She's pretty good at the crossword page, and she paints her eyes blue-black. Tristan comes along sometimes, small for his age, and he's barely 5. But she loves him like a mama lion.
Veda used to drink a lot, almost lost it all before she stopped. Come in at night with her friend Mike, who runs a crisis line. Michael toured Senegal and back, hair the color of smoke and ash.
Their heads are bowed. Their hands are clasped. One more storm has passed. Here we are, all in one place, the wants and the wounds of the human race. Despair and hope sits face to face when you come in from the cold. Let her fill your cup with something kind, eggs and toast and like bread and wine. She's heard it all, so she don't mind. The entire human race was and is broken. Not just Herod and Herodias. We are all Arthurs and Deirdres and Vedas and Michaels. And when we ache, we all need to feel the comfort that comes from being with others. We all need to feel God's ever-present, abundant, grace-filled love. We all need places like Betty's Diner. For in the songwriter's words, you never know who'll be your witness. You'll never know who grants forgiveness. Look to heaven or sit with us. And like Jesus, we disciples can be Mirandas who serve others with a nod and a smile, even in a community like Betty's Diner. And like John the Baptist, we can all share the good news that the God who is with us, who has compassion for us, can fill your cup with something kind, eggs and toast like bread and wine. He's heard it all, so he doesn't mind.
Will you please rise as you are able and affirm your faith with me? Today we will remember the words of the Nicene Creed, which are printed on one side of the laminated pew cards. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation.
He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please join me in singing hymn number 508, For the Bread Which You Have Broken.
Oh, brothers and sisters, this is the Lord's table. It is not a Presbyterian table. It is not our family's table. This is Christ's table, where all who believe in him may share in the feast he first prepared for his disciples and for the saints who have followed him throughout the ages. Therefore, let all God's children from north and south and east and west come and sit at table in the kingdom of God. May the Lord be with you. Lift your hungry hearts to God. God gives us all we need in every moment. Let us pray. O God of steadfast love, when the hour was late, you spoke, and creation sprang forth in newness. Tadpoles stretching into bullfrogs, caterpillars crystallizing into beautiful butterflies, raindrops plopping on broad leaves, thunder rolling through the valleys. And you shaped us in your image. If we had listened to you, we would have feasted on Eden's delights, but we hungered for sin's moldy bread and drank death's sour wine. With great love and unceasing hope, you sent the prophets to us, but we sent them away, for the hour was too early to follow you. Then, in overwhelming compassion, you sent Jesus to us. With those who have been fed by your love, with those who drink deeply of your joy, we lift our songs of thanksgiving to you, saying, "Holy, holy, holy are you, God of gracious love. All creation rejoices in you. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one filled with the great compassion. Hosanna in the highest." You are gracious and merciful, holy God, and Jesus Christ is your hard made flesh. He who had everything came to fill those who had nothing. He who lived in glory came to the deserted places of our hearts to love us. He who is over all came to submit to death's power, being cut off from you until you raised him to new life. We need not go away empty, but are fed at the table where we speak the truth in Christ, saying, "Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again." Here at this table, O God of abundance, you feed us with that grace and peace which is offered to us at no cost. The Holy Spirit blesses the bread, breaks it, and gives it to us so we might have the strength to hold those whose knees wobble from fear and despair. The Holy Spirit blesses the cup, pours it, and gives it to us so we can go to lift up the hopes which the world has dashed to the ground. The Holy Spirit will gather up the broken people to create a community of wholeness. And when the final hour is now, when we are gathered with our sisters and brothers of every time and every place, we will eat and be filled at the Lamb's Supper and rejoice with one voice as we praise you forever and ever. Until that time, O Lord, hear us now as we lift up to you the needs of this world. We pray for our sisters and brothers, your children, your body on earth, the church. While we may not feel the pain of persecution, we ask that you tend to the hearts and bodies of those who suffer for your sake, and ask that you move us forward in mission with you. We pray for the healing and preservation of your creation. We pray for the people, animals, and plants of the Mojave Desert that is scorching in flames and without even the minimal amount of water that nourishes the region will be extremely challenged to grow back to life. We pray for the nations of the world, wisdom for all leaders, and relief for the oppressed wherever they live. We pray for those who are hungry, ill, vulnerable or suffering injustice. Grant them safety and healing in the ways they need. We pray for all who need to feel your presence in their lives and ask that you also bless our families and friends so that all might live amid the sense of peace that passes understanding. Unless we forget, we pray too in thanksgiving for all of your gifts to us. We especially give thanks for the gift of marriage, both long-standing and new. We ask that you bless marriages that are new, especially the one between Erin Vanderbark Britton and her new husband, Ethan Farmer. O God and community, O holiest triune God in one, we pray all this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took bread like this, ordinary bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, This is my body, which has been broken for you. Take of it, eat of it, and do so always remembering me. And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, which has been shed for you and the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink of it, do so remembering me. Every time, my friends, that you eat of this bread or drink of this cup, you proclaim the saving life of Jesus until he comes again. Let us now share in this most amazing miracle, the meal of Christ. Thank you. life broken for each of us. Take and eat, remembering him. This is the cup of salvation which has been spilt for each of you. Take and drink, remembering him. Let us pray. For these gifts, O God, we thank you. For your grace, O God, we praise you. For your love and compassion, we adore you, O God. Amen and amen.
Please turn to hymn number 540 and stand with me as we sing God Be With You till we meet again.
Thank you.
am I? God is always with us. God came to earth in compassion to be with us, to walk with us through our daily journeys. And whether we are suffering and want to disappear into a desert or a wilderness far away from other people, or to be with other people as we grieve or suffer an illness or any of a number of other things, God is with us. God loves us. God sent Jesus to us. So go out and share that good news with all you meet. God is with us. God has compassion for us. And God will be with us until we meet again. Go knowing that the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit and draws us together goes with us now and each and every day. Amen.